Today in Havana, it was a blast from the somewhat recent past. Fidel Castro, in full military uniform, giving a speech to a captive crowd, in this case, students at the University of Havana.
En esta, como en muchas luchas del pasado, es posible vencer.
Castro's tone, his mere presence, in fact, is a noticeable change for the 84-year-old. Since he handed over power to his brother Raul 4 years ago, he's been virtually out of sight. But in recent months, he's been more visible and more talkative. The BBC's Michael Voss is in Havana and was at this morning's speech. Michael, was today's speech a typical Castro speech and that it went on for hours?
No, since he reemerged a couple of months ago, his speeches have been much shorter. About a week or so ago, he addressed the National Assembly, Cuba's parliament. He spoke for about 10 minutes and then took questions and answers. This time he actually stood at the podium and talked for about 34 to 40 minutes. A little shaky at times, but he was able to go on, as I say, for about 35 or 40 minutes.
And what were the main points of his talk today?
He's concentrating on foreign affairs, and it seems that it's almost as if he's come off his sick bed to try and save the world from nuclear destruction, that the United States and Israel are going to get embroiled in a conflict with Iran that will end in nuclear destruction. I mean, he's worried that the fresh UN sanctions that give the US and Israel the right to intercept Iranian ships is going to spark a confrontation. There will be war, it'll get out of hand, and then the whole world will end up in nuclear destruction. It's a theme that he's been speaking about really now nonstop for the last few months.
Now, in recent years, whenever you saw a picture of Fidel Castro, he looked like an ailing elderly man in a tracksuit. How did he seem physically?
He's still a little shaky. When he walks, he has an assistant at his side who he holds on to. He did, in a interview he gave to a Mexican newspaper the other day, said that several times over the last few years he came very close to death, and at times he almost lost the will to live.
Now, in the lengthy interview Castro granted to a Mexican newspaper this week, he seemed to make a mea culpa for his treatment of gays in Cuba. What did he say?
Well, yes, if you look back to the 1960s and not long after the revolution, there was a crackdown on homosexuals and priests and others who were considered counter-revolutionaries. And a lot of homosexuals were rounded up and sent to forced labor camps for rehabilitation along with priests. He said in this interview that it was unjustifiable whoever had sanctioned it. He was asked, well, you know, who was responsible for this? And he said, well, the buck stops here. It was my fault. I was the leader. But he said he had his eye off the ball, in a sense. He was more worried about bigger political issues, and there was the Cuban Missile Crisis and all the CIA attempts to assassinate him. And he said he wasn't focusing on this issue, which is why it happened. Homosexuality was only decriminalized in about 1979. They were fairly heavily persecuted, you know, up until very recently. Interestingly, his niece, the daughter of the current president, Raul Castro, a woman called Mariela Castro, is the gay rights activist in Cuba, and she's probably been twisting her uncle's ear.
As I read the account of Castro giving this interview and his comments, I was struck by his tone, Michael. I mean, there was a touch of an elderly man taking stock of his life, even a confessional quality to it. I mean, you said he seemed like he's been getting out of bed to save the world. Is there a sense among Cubans that Castro's trying to get his final affairs in order?
I think there's several senses here. One is this big debate of, is he trying to get back into the political scene? And I think at that level, the answer is he likes the limelight. He's found a political space in terms of foreign affairs. He's not touching on what his brother Raul Castro is doing, domestic politics or the economy. So that's one side. Putting his affairs in order, it is possible. Where he spoke today on the steps of the University of Havana is where he cut his teeth politically as a radical student leader at the University of Havana. And he did make reference to it in his speech. Interestingly, just before he became ill 4 years ago and had to cede power and undergo surgery, he did several trips. One was to his father's birthplace in Spain, another was to Che Guevara's birthplace in Argentina, and he also went back to where he grew up.
The BBC's Michael Voss in Havana. Always good to speak with you, Michael. Thanks.
You're welcome, Marco.